The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I respectfully acknowledge the hard work and dedication of all of those with this organization that have come before me, but I'm dedicated and committed to cultivating a culture that breeds winning and has its sights set on championships.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, and I'm joined by Rob Schaefer and Casey Johnson, both from NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss Jim Boylan being relieved of his duties and where the Chicago Bulls go from there.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into another Bulls Talk Podcast, an emergency edition of a Bulls Talk Podcast, breaking news edition. We've got Rob Schaefer from NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com, as well as our guy Casey Johnson from NBC Sports Chicago. Our digital content producer, Tony Gill, is on the line as well. And I am Jason Goff. All right, fellas. The moment that seemingly all Bulls fans were waiting for, they got it. Jim Boylan is no longer the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, a.k.a. Mark Eversley. Have made their decision going forward. What do we know about not only the situation now, but from what we heard from AK as he addressed the media, Casey?
Well, I mean, AK, you know, basically detailed that you've got to take him at his word. I mean, he always said he was going to go through a deliberate process and for this evaluation and to make sure he got this decision right. He obviously knew that ownership like Jim Boylan, and he also knew that he had to get to know him before making this decision. But there was a lot of doubt created by his taking this much time, but all he did was basically do what he said he was going to do. And now he's going to go through a deliberate search to replace him. I've been told five names are on the list at least. I'm sure there are more, but the five I've been able to confirm are Kenny Atkinson, Darvin Ham, Steven Silas, Wes Unseld Jr., and Ime Udoka. I do think a timeline to kind of keep in mind is September. I think there's a lot of progress being made for some voluntary workouts getting agreed to by the NBA and NBPA for the eight teams left behind in Orlando, and it would certainly make sense to have a new coach in place to be around for those. I don't think he'll rush it to do that, but I think that's something to keep in mind.
As he mentioned, and as you tweeted, and as you'll hear right now, Arturis Karnišovas said the timing was right today because it's the first official day of the offseason and no timeline was really in place.
Again, I took my time for a reason. You know, it was a process, and I took, you know, to make that decision over the last few months since I was hired in April. I had no timeline, and this was the right time to make this change, and that's what I did.
So now that we know that, Casey, Rob, when you heard AK speak today, and there was a chance, you know, because we had talked about over the last few podcasts that maybe 2021 was going to be the season where there was a feeling out period. So there was that consternation by Bulls fans. But we also knew that there was a chance that Jim Boylan wouldn't be here. When you heard AK speak today about what went into this and the due diligence, what did you come away with?
Well, what stood out to me is the emphasis, and Casey alluded to it, on player development and player relationships. I think that was the most insight we got from AK today. He was pretty predictably and understandably a little short with some questions about kind of the underlayers of the Jim decision. But the player relationships thing really stuck out to me, the five candidates that you just listed, Casey, after doing a little bit of work to kind of build out bios and look at their background. Player development is certainly a theme. So is player experience slash NBA. Family experience, obviously. Wes Unseld Jr. And Stephen Silas are sons of NBA legends. So that is certainly what stood out to me. And it echoes what a lot of people have said and what we've kind of alluded to on this podcast and in writing and just across, you know, every modem that we've discussed, Jim Boylan. That was something that was just lacking in his time as Bulls coach. There was regression this year that was obvious, that's well documented. And then with kind of the public nature of some disputes with players, and then obviously reports of, you know, feedback being not always sterling, that all just seemed to add up to me. And I think the hope, if you're a Bulls fan, is that with that focus and attention in the search on player development and player relationships, the rebuild gets back on track. Because at the end of the day, that's what's central to a rebuild.
No doubt about it. And KC, you know, I think the weird factions that had kind of established themselves were not if or what was going on with the coaching decision, but the expediency with which the decision was being made. And, you know, if we trusted the due diligence and all the autonomy that AK speaks about in this clip right here.
Yeah. So again, you know, like since it was a very unique situation to be hired in April, so, you know, we took our time, take through this process. You know, the restrictions were lifted. A little bit more interaction was involved. I think at the end of the day, you know, I would like to thank Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf, you know, for trusting me to make that basketball decision. There were definitely discussions with the ownership, but at the end of the day, the autonomy was left up to me.
If we trust what he says, and we knew that he said that when he was introduced, and he's still saying it on this side of it, you know, a lot of people were leery of John Paxson's connection still to this team. But if he has to keep on saying it, I'm going to keep taking his word for it that he has full autonomy to do what he needs to do to get this franchise back in the right direction.
Well, yeah, he clearly does. And that's really, I got a column going up this, you know, sometime today, just basically saying that you gotta take Michael Reinsdorf and Arturis Karnišovas at face value for what they said, because exactly what they said is exactly what happened. Michael Reinsdorf said he hired Arturis for full autonomy to make basketball decisions. Arturis said he's going to take his time to do this evaluation process. The fact they didn't work on our timelines or Twitter's timeline, you know, that's not their concern. And here's the thing about the financial element that never made sense to me is that, you know, Arturis was hired during a pandemic. So the Reinsdorf's financial situation never changed. I mean, he was hired during a pandemic and, you know, they ate Gar Forman's contract during a pandemic. He made three significant hires initially with Mark Eversley, J.J. Polk, and Pat Connolly during a pandemic. We all know that the Reinsdorfs are, you know, obviously a financially prudent organization, run a financially prudent organization, but they gave
– any of the factors changed during the pandemic in terms of their financial bottom lines or the moves that they had to make or were being urged to make? Do you think any of that changed during this time, or have things been the same since March 12th to now?
No, my point is, like, the of course the financial situation changed because there's no fans in the stands. But the point is that they still gave Arturis the authority and the autonomy to do what he needed to do. And the fact that it didn't fit on people's timelines is all that angered people. But we're at the conclusion that, you know, most people assumed what happened when he first took over. So just took longer than most people wanted, but they can't concern themselves with that.
And as you'll hear right here, he uttered this common refrain over and over that the financial decisions didn't play a part in the letting go of one Jim Boylan.
So ownership gave me, you know, autonomy to make that decision, and it was based on basketball, not financials.
As a follow-up quickly, when Jerry made his comments to USA Today about the nine-figure losses between the Sox and the Bulls, there was a lot of kind of speculation that was going to hinder you from being able to make a decision like this. Did that come into play at all during your process?
No, I think thankfully that, you know, the ownership gave me autonomy, and it was, you know, looking not only for upcoming season, outlook also for the, you know, 21-22. So we were looking at the big picture, and this was, you know, we just felt that the program needed a change and a fresh perspective.
So you mentioned, and you also tweeted it, KC, about the little, I won't say blind spot, but the open time frame in which they're caught here, where you may have basketball activities starting up again. It's the end of the actual regular season for the NBA after the restart, which was, you know, everybody got their 8 games out of the way. Now we have playoffs to go forward with. How does that change, or not change, but affect the decision-making that if they are able to get their hands back on players, that a coaching decision has to be made here?
Again, I don't think it's the be-all, end-all. I don't think they'll rush it just for that. But, I mean, it just logically makes sense if you're going to be bringing in a new coach that he's around for these group activities. It wouldn't be a deal-breaker. And, you know, one thing that Arturis has proven during this process is he's not going to be rushed into a decision. So I know he's going to go about it the right way. But, you know, if 2-3 weeks from now, the NBA and NBAPA, which I think is going to happen, is going to sign off on, you know, a couple weeks of OTAs at the Advocate Center, it certainly sounds like it'd be smart to have a coach in place, particularly because it's, you know, a month out from the draft at that point, et cetera. So, you know, I think they'll go dive into this process pretty quickly here. But obviously try to do it in the right time frame as well.
Rob, what do you think this move is going to say to potential free agents in the summer after next year, where there's a lot of big names out there, and obviously we don't know what the financial ramifications are going to be totally from this pandemic that we're in right now. What do you think that this next hire is going to say to any potential free agent who might be looking at Chicago down the line as a program that they want to join?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just says that it's a new era and that they're serious about it being a new era, the new front office regime, that is. It says that although, you know, AK obviously took his time with this decision and was deliberate, he wasn't willing to necessarily putz around for the 2020-21 season, which is something that I think we were all starting to rationalize and kind of wrap our heads around. Okay, what are the pros and cons of that? But what it really says is this is an organization now that, A, listens to their players. I think that's a key part of this. And B, isn't willing to settle for kind of half measures, was willing to clean house proverbially as much as was reasonable, and is serious about pushing this thing forward as opposed to trying to fix what was already kind of in place. It seems to me like that's the way things should operate when a new front office regime comes in. And yet there's a reason that the fan base seems to be refreshed by the decision. We'll see, you know, how players react if they do, or if we have to wait until a new coach is in place, and we'll see kind of how the culture maybe starts to shift. But it certainly is a signal that this is a franchise that's moving forward in my eyes.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Casey, you asked for specifics and you didn't get any of them in that 16th. I thought it was funny. And I could always tell when Casey's like, hey, man, I'm trying to do my gig too out here, because you followed up a couple of questions with one was, so no specifics, thanks. And the other one was, so no comment. What do you think you gleaned, if anything, from not just what the coaching staff is going to look like in the future, but what's going to happen with these guys that are on the coaching staff now? I know you tweeted about Roy and Chris Fleming.
Yeah, the two follow-ups you're alluding to in our conference call with Arturis were, I mean, he just kept saying it was a basketball decision, and I just wanted him to get into specifics of what he saw from a basketball standpoint. And, you know, I'm a nosy reporter, so he can brush me off as much as he wants. But I just felt like from my seat, you can explain that without burying the guy.
Right.
And just maybe get briefly into some difference of philosophies or what have you. You can be a generic answer. It's also his choice not to go down that road, which he did. So that's cool.
He set that baseline, and you kind of don't have to go back to it after a while. I mean, if this is how he's – I will say this. They're going to have to win, because if nothing is going to be shared in terms of your philosophies, and I know it will be, but in terms of what you're looking for next and, you know, the expectations – I think Bulls fans are very happy on a day like this because they feel like something is changing, but they still want another glimpse that maybe other front office types have been able to give or wanted to give. It doesn't seem like AK is going to be on that kind of vibe at all.
Right. But I actually feel like until today, I felt like he had been kind of at least giving us what we want as far as
reports. This is the first
loss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cause like even the Gar Forman answer back in April, I mean, he didn't go into like deep specifics, but he gave us something to use. You know what I'm saying? And like here, he just basically was like, no, I'm not playing that game. So again, that's fine. It's his choice. And as far as the assistants, that I also just followed up, you know, what's their future? Because somebody's got to run these workouts now, these individual workouts that are taking place that haven't considered. And more importantly and more specifically, I've reported several times that I know that Arturis has a comfort level working with Chris Fleming, who just finished the first year of a third year deal, because they had worked together in Denver. So, you know, it's not unprecedented for a management when they're interviewing guys to say, hey, you know what, we really like this one assistant. Would you consider keeping him on staff? Typically head coaches hire their own staffs, but you know, there can be some managerial influence or at least open-mindedness to retaining guys. And I was hoping he'd at least touch that, but it's obviously too early in the process. I will say, you know, and I don't want to start doing conspiracy theories or tea leaves.
Oh, let's do it.
Much. But I will say, of one of those five names, Kenny Atkinson, you know, Chris Fleming obviously worked on his staff in Brooklyn and their college basketball teammates from Richmond. So just something to file away for whatever reason in the back of your head.
Well, let's talk about these potential candidates. Both of you guys threw out a couple of pieces on NBCSportsChicago.com, not just talking about the roster and the move, but potential candidates as well. What do we know about some of these names, Rob and Casey? The floor is yours.
Yeah, so I think that the common thread, as I mentioned earlier, is, you know, player development. Casey, you mentioned the Kenny Atkinson tie to Chris Fleming. I was going to mention that too, because kind of instrumental to the Nets rebuild. And it's obviously been kind of a meteoric rise from, you know, unmitigated dumpster fire in 2016 with no draft capital to, you know, luring Kevin Durant and Kyrie in free agency last year. So I think that's a feather in Kenny's hat. I think there are a lot of player development successes there. There's also, I think a couple bright defensive minds in there. Ime Udoka is a name, KC, that you reported or confirmed that he was, you know, a defensive specialist type of assistant coach in Philadelphia. They obviously have a great defensive personnel, but are a good defensive team as well. And Wes Unseld Jr. in Denver has kind of led an evolution there from them to being one of the lower rated defensive teams in the league to now pretty solid on that end. That's a thread that I saw. And another thing I should mention, you know, of the five candidates that Casey, you've laid out there, four or five of them are black men. So that's a huge thing too, especially when you consider the way that the Bulls were criticized for with you know, valid reporting behind it about their front office search initially. I think that's something that certainly should be noted too.
Bill Cartwright, as of now, the only African-American head coach in Bulls franchise history. I will say a quick plug here. Rob did an amazing job on a quick turnaround detailing these five candidates. Mm-hmm. Again, there could be more, but check it out at NBCSportsChicago.com. There's great work from Rob on the five candidates that I've mentioned.
And for everyone who follows me on Twitter and walks up to me in the street, I don't know when the next time Mark Jackson will get a head coaching job. So I just want to put that out there for everybody, because immediately Mark Jackson's name came up, not just where I was, but on my phone. And then I think we threw out an Instagram post on NBC Sports Chicago's Instagram feed with him as one of the, you know, the names inside the little bubble or whatever. But whoever the next head coach is, man, there's going to be some opportunities. It feels like there's a wave of not just new energy, but like not a reset button, but, you know, Bulls fans understand what has happened in terms of free agent hunts previously. And now I think Bulls fans are just, hey, develop these players, develop whoever you got in-house, and then if a free agent jumps down, then you're good. KC, which one of these guys do you know has the best reputation amongst NBA players, not just the best player developer or the best strategical coach that is available?
I mean, I don't know these candidates well at all, so I'd be tough to give you a lot of great insight on that. I would just say this in answer to that question. You know, Kenny Atkinson's the only one who's done it from the head coaching seat. I mean, that's not to say these other guys can't be good head coaches, because Kenny Atkinson needed his first opportunity to do it. But, you know, he's sat in that chair and drawn a lot of credit and a lot of widespread compliments for his player development ability. You know, and it's well documented from guys, you know, talking him up like Spencer Dinwiddie, et cetera. You know, and it's not just Kenny, it's his staff too. So, and the whole franchise, Sean Marks from on down. So, but, you know, I would just more talk about what Rob said, and that's just that the common theme from all five of these guys, to me, completely aligns with what Mark and Arturis have been saying from the jump about hammering player development. Because all you keep hearing about this Bulls roster is, oh, there's all this intriguing young talent, intriguing young pieces. But it have you seen it coalesce, or have you seen it mesh together? I personally have not, and that's on this organization. It's charged to this organization, this regime, to get that right.
I'm glad you mentioned that, KC, because I talked about it this morning, did a radio hit this morning. And, you know, for all the people, and including the players, who wanted to get rid of Jim Boylan, I feel you. I got you. I understand why. But please understand that these players are part of this 20-win effort as well. And at some point, when you get rid of people around you, whether it be Gar Foreman or you know, now Jim Boylan or whoever's going to be let go off the staff, whatever the case may be, now you've got AK and Mark Eversley looking at the people who they relied upon as resources as, okay, we figured out the situation, and now you got to be good in it. See, now the pressure is squarely on a lot of these players. Like you mentioned, the guys who are the young, intriguing talent, you know, that clock is ticking right now. Like, you've got a couple of players and you got a couple of young bigs who have a lot of questions about. You got a young guard who has to now understand that he's going to be on people's scouting report. Like, Kobe White's not sneaking up on anybody next year. So that work has to be put in. Zach LaVine took a step and was getting all-star mentions and you know, star players and all-time greats talking about him in a different class. Now, you know, Jim Boylan and Gar Foreman ain't there to blame. I'm not saying that was the blame before. But it's going to be interesting to see how this group now is either freed or, you know, more pressure is mounted on their shoulders. Rob, how do you – like, if you're looking at this roster right now, how are you feeling knowing that whoever the next coach is going to have to get the best out of four or five guys that this thing is built on?
Yeah, I think you make a good point about we can't use Jim's firing as an excuse to just pile all of the failures of this rebuild on him. It's not 100% attributable there. There are young, promising pieces on this roster. We've said on this pod in the past, like, no one should be untouchable. Like, no one is necessarily that level. But you're right that the clock is ticking. If I'm a new coach coming in, I still think it's an attractive job. For all the reasons that I think the executive vice president job was an attractive job. And I wrote about that at the time. And we'll write a similar thing also going up tonight. I think if you are, whether it be a young aspiring first-time head coach or someone with a little bit more of a proven track record, I don't see why you wouldn't look at this roster and think that it is kind of a hunk of clay that could still be molded into something, whether it be a championship contender with all the pieces, maybe not, but something better than it is right now. When you just look at the core pieces that they have. So for that reason, I think it's still an attractive job. The candidates that are out there right now seem to, be emblematic of that. They seem to be qualified. They seem to be well-regarded. I just think it's a time of excitement, not because a man lost his job. I mean, that's obviously, I don't want to dance on anyone's grave, and that's obviously a bummer. I don't think anybody here is trying to do that. But it is a time of great excitement for that reason that, all these little nagging questions that we have, well, could Lauri Markkanen's usage have been a little different? Could they have run more plays for him? Could he have been more involved in the offense? Could his minutes have been a little bit more consistent? Could Wendell Carter's offensive game expand? Could he be shooting a little bit more from the outside? Could he be used as a passing hub a little bit more? Could Coby White develop into a true point guard as opposed to just a spark plug scorer? All of those questions, I think it's easier to look at them a little bit more optimistically moving forward with a fresh face, with a fresh direction, especially, even from this initial list of candidates. I think it's just a sign that whoever comes in will be able to put an optimistic spin on all that.
So, podcast and interview style aside, what would you guys do with this situation in terms of how to get the best out of this roster? Because let's face it, it's a players' league. You got to hit shots, got to get enough stops and get enough wins, and hopefully you'll be lifting a trophy at some point in time. KC, what needs to happen with the four or five guys that we deem the most important on this roster for whoever the coach is, however they need to do it, however he or she needs to implement that plan? What do you think needs to happen? What do you see happening if this thing is successful at maybe halfway through or at the end of next year?
Well, I mean, several things. Maybe hopefully isn't too cliche, but first they got to stay healthy. I mean, Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen haven't stayed on the court. Okay. That's the first and foremost thing. Then they need to learn to show that they can have success at the same time and play and combine to play winning basketball together. Too many times we're going to a guy after his star turn in some, where one guy just went off and everybody else just kind of stood around. I mean, I hate to keep coming back to the Nuggets, but that's the blueprint we have to follow because that's where Arturis is coming from. Just watch the way they play, man. And there's so much ball and player movement. They play so well off each other. There's so much read and react to their offense, and there's so much trust and cohesion and chemistry. Obviously, they have more talent, but that's the blueprint I want to see, it'd be fun to see as a beat writer on a nightly basis. So it's that. So they have to – and then, quite frankly, the usage has to change, and obviously it now will with a new coach. I think it's easy to paint in broad strokes that everything Jim did was terrible or horrible. I don't know, man. Zach LaVine got to be a better player under Jim Boylan. Now, is that on Zach LaVine or is that on Jim Boylan and his staff? I personally think it's a combination thereof. So, there were clearly things that Jim did that limited other people's usage. I'm thinking now specifically about Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. So, these will all be discussions that Arturis has during the interview process for a new head coach. But the players got to step up too. It's a shared thing here.
If they hired you, Rob Schaefer, as the new head coach, well, one, it would be a loss for us here at NBC, and two,
it might be a loss for them too.
And two, what would be the implementation dictation of your culture? Like what would have to happen, or what would you try to execute to get the Bulls on track to playoff and championship glory?
Yeah, health is huge. Casey, you mentioned that. Definitely need guys to stay healthy, but provided everybody is. I roll into next season. I want Lauri Markkanen playing, 3 to 5 minutes more per game, get him up in the mid-30s. I want him taking 14 to 16 shots a game at least. I want him, on the move. I'd probably try to work more things into my offense to get him kind of out of the corners and more towards the middle of the floor, moving downhill. Jim, I think he got derided for, telling Lauri to crash the defensive glass more for offensive opportunities. And obviously that sentiment probably wasn't packaged the right way, but there is an element where Lauri does need to work a little bit harder, rebounding. And I think his grab and go ability in the fast break is a really tantalizing skill. So I would emphasize that as well, maybe in a different tone, but I would emphasize that as well. I'd have Wendell getting 10 to 15 more touches a game. And just, these guys are in their third or fourth years in the league. Got to let them kind of spread their wings and stretch out and try things. And, if it doesn't work out, if they're not as highly skilled as maybe we could project at certain things. For Wendell, I think passing is something that I would really want to see him do more. Shooting is something I want to see him do more. And if it doesn't pan out, then you could switch course on it. But early career is the time to try that stuff out. Depending on where you go in the draft, I'd be looking either for wing help. I'd certainly want one or two shooters on the roster that aren't there right now. There will be kind of bargain guys, mid-level exception market. Casey's written about that in mailbags a little bit. So whether that be in the free agent market or the draft, I'd be looking for wing help, and I'd be looking for another shooter. And in terms of Kobe White and Zach LaVine, those are guys that, Kobe, we have a smaller sample size, but that have improved over the course of their careers, Zach kind of season to season, Kobe kind of month to month. I would just be encouraging them to continue to grow as playmakers. Both of them are great off the ball threats. And if both of them become enough of on the ball playmakers to be able to set the table for others, I mean, that just opens up a world of possibilities for the offense. So that, that's the start of it. I can't go into all of it. These are just things that bang around in my head all day. And I'd blitz about, 25% less than they did this season. They were blitzing on 35% of their pick and roll coverages this season. I would definitely tone that down, and I would expect, Wendell's shot blocking numbers to go back up and various other things to happen. But yeah, that'd be my framework. That'd be the start of it.
Yeah, you're hired. You're hired, bro.
I hope that resonates with somebody out there.
It does. It does.
Somebody's got to be thinking about this stuff as much as me.
Yeah, somebody's going to be listening to this podcast at 2 a.m. in a different zone and say, you know what? Me and that Rob Schaefer, we're connected basketball-wise. I'm with you, man. I think the two bigs, the two young bigs are, to me, the most important pieces, because they are still the unquantifiable. Because of what Casey mentioned in terms of availability, and also last season, the regression of Lowry and the health of Wendell Carter Jr. If you're going to unlock whatever is in those two guys that made you pick them as highly as you did, and also that they've shown us in spurts throughout their NBA career so far, then this is a totally different dynamic and a totally different formula. If you can't, then you need to find out now. And, you only got so many seasons before, you start to figure out if you're selling high or selling low, if you do choose to make that decision. But Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., I think, are the 1A projects on this team. I think Kobe White's going to have a long career doing exactly what he's doing right now. You can try to tinker with him and try to figure out if he is a more responsible offense initiator. And Zach LaVine, whether he is a Bull long term or he is flipped for something, I think his value is high. So those two guys, I don't have a lot of worry about. The two bigs are the two, whoever you're hiring. Of course, you got to get, the other players in tow and make sure that, you're running an offensive and defensive philosophy that provides the results that you want. But those two bigs, to me, whoever you hire, those two guys, you got to unlock whatever's in there and then go from there, because you got a guy who's 7 feet, who has the talent that Lauri Markkanen does. You've got a guy who's 6'9 and can move the way, 6'10 who can move the way Wendell Carter Jr. can, and has some of the leadership characteristics that you might want to have around for a long time. So I'm wishing the best as a Bulls fan. And I'm sitting back in the cut and seeing. And that's pretty much, I think, you know, AK and Mark Eversley set the tone with this move, where if they say they're going to do it, so far they've done it. You know, whether it be revamping the front office, doing their due diligence now with this coaching situation, and now the player development and free agents and the trade. I mean, we've got the lottery coming up here in a week. Like, there's a lot to still chew on. But so far, I think so good from a new front office, a new regime, and a new culture when it comes to Chicago Bulls. So this was our breaking news emergency podcast. We'll get this, hopefully we'll get this to you as soon as we possibly can. Thank you so much for listening. For Tony Gill, my man Kevin Anderson, Bulldog, Casey Johnson, and Rob Schaefer, I'm Jason Goff. Thanking you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you like the show. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning, or if there's an emergency podcast that is necessary, we'll get that out to you as well. We will talk to you soon. Be safe, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.